world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, the radio show that does in one show the amount of work that most do in a month.
Yeah.
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 All right, enough.
Now, we had a Wisconsin baby abducted, and the baby was found. This is a baby that was abducted from a home in Wisconsin.
What do you mean abducted?
He's talking about it was stolen, right, Phil?
Yes, the baby was kidnapped, stolen, and the baby was found. This was, I believe the baby was taken last night, if I'm not mistaken, or within a few short hours, the baby was discovered.
Now, that is not something that ordinarily happens.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and you said a mouthful there.
What?
What?
I'm just trying to protect Ms. Gray. You said a mouthful.
Well, thank you, Robert, now that I think about it.
Oh, you people got to be kidding. What Phil said, mouthful?
What are you looking at me for?
You know I didn't mean anything by you said a mouthful. I didn't say you had a mouthful.
Daddy!
Oh, I'm going to...
Hey, watch it. Don't reach across me this early in the show.
Tell it to be quiet.
Bud, you don't have to...
Well, it's pretty funny. You got to admit... I mean, I got a right to laugh just like any other man do. I'm a man, just like any other man.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. And if something's funny, well, by God, I'll do it.
Okay, you all done with the speech now, President Lincoln?
President Lincoln. Yeah.
Thank you. So I can move on with the show? I didn't mean anything about you said a mouthful, okay?
Well, I'm just trying to, Miss Henry, make sure everything's all up and up so Ms. Gray doesn't get pissed off.
Look, I'm not going to get pissed off if you want to use the vulgarity. I just want to make sure that I am protected vis-a-vis... Well, you know what I mean.
I think we understand, Margaret, and I think we're wasting too much time. When Phil said that you said a mouthful, only once did I think, well, isn't that funny? Phil could have said, you've got a mouthful, but I didn't articulate it out loud as Robert did.
You said I made a mistake?
Hey, wait a second. Are you guys having a conversation without me here? I'm reading a news story.
My apologies, Phil.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question, please, Phil?
What?
What do you mean only once did it cross your mind?
When Phil said you said a mouthful, I thought, boy, it's a good thing he didn't say you've got a mouthful because you looked like you were chewing on a... Well,
I had a mint in my mouth. Why?
Your cheeks were bulging out and... I apologize.
And you're telling me I'm not allowed to say nothing about it.
All right. Would you guys grow up here before we waste more time? Her cheeks were bulging out. She had a mint in her mouth. So you're thinking that I could have said you have a mouthful. And all of that comes down in Robert's mind to what?
To something absolutely filthy. And I'm glad that Robert looked out for me. Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome, Ms. Grant.
Or he could have said nothing at all. And no one could have mentioned anything. And people in the audience would have thought that I was talking about you said a mouthful, just exactly what I said, and was not thinking about...
We're not thinking about.
People, plural. Yes, we're not thinking about.
Well, Phil, don't give yourself a heart attack, for God's sake. We know what we mean.
Yeah, but the audience doesn't. They're lost. And without me, they'd be further lost. A woman has been charged with a kidnapping, so we're all done. You said a mouthful. I didn't mean you got a mouthful, even though I'm noticing that you're still chewing on the mint.
I don't mean anything by this. I'm sucking on the mint.
All right. I'm glad you said you don't mean anything by it. Phil, I'm simply not... I'm trying to do this the best way I...
Just keep it to yourself, General. That's the best thing to do. Don't make a huge statement about anything. We are well into the show. I haven't gotten into the body of this story because I've had to explain the whole purpose of the phrase, you said a mouthful instead of you got a mouthful.
You see how he's laughing, though?
Yeah, I can see that, Miss Gray.
Oh, I can see that, Miss Gray.
Wisconsin woman charged...
That's not what it says.
I'm reading it the way I want to read it.
It says this right here, Miss Henry.
Don't take it away from me. It says woman charged. I said Wisconsin woman charged.
Well, are you reading it or are you making it up?
Woman charged with kidnapping after missing Wisconsin baby found at Iowa gas station. Federal kidnapping charges have been filed against a Denver...
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Are you all right, Phil?
Phil, what's wrong?
I'm just laughing. Just laughing, man. That's all. I'm just laughing, you know.
Well, you're scaring me, Phil.
No, no, it's fine. I'm just laughing. I'm just laughing. I, if I tell you what I'm laughing at, then we'll never get through this show. We will do nothing but talk about what it is I'm laughing at.
I don't you laugh at. You laugh at the fact that Margaret bought a head of mouthful.
All right, hey, watch it.
I'm going to take a walk. I'm walking around the block. Otherwise, I'm going to kill something. It's going to save me from a homicide charge. Oh, laugh it up, Phil.
God, man.
Oh, God. Don't save me from a homicide charge.
Yes, that's right. That's what Margaret's... It's going to save her from a homicide charge.
You talking about me?
Well, what do you think, genius? Yeah. You're pissing her off, and you're pissing her off early. You're pissing her off early, man. I think that's a sure bet for an early grave, if you want my honest opinion.
Phil, those are fighting words for some men. You should be careful.
Was he going to fight me? I'm just giving him the bad news, the reality. I'm the reporter.
Well, in Greek times, they did kill the messenger. You know that?
Yeah, so I understand from that movie that the Tom Cruise did.
Which one? Oh, that was one called Bacchaderi, right?
Yeah.
Bacchaderi? You mean Valkyrie?
Who? That's the guy who's in Tombstone.
Who was?
Valkyrie was in Tombstone, I believe.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Valkyrie was the code name for the operation in Germany that was attempting to assassinate Adolf Hitler, that was run by Count, the great German hero, Count Stauffenberg. And it was a bust. They didn't get the Hitler, and they didn't kill him, and they wound up executing all the plotters, but they were brave men, and that's the end of that, and let's not make any more jokes. Otherwise, someone's going to have to save me from a homicide charge. You understand?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Federal kidnapping charges have been filed against a Denver woman in the case of a missing six days old this kid was, who disappeared in the middle of the night from his Wisconsin home. The woman, Kristen Smith, could face life in prison if convicted of snatching her half-sister's newborn baby, Caden Powell. U.S. Attorney John Vanderul filed a charge against Smith on Friday afternoon, hours after the child was found alive, get a load of this, near an Iowa gas station a half a mile from where Smith was arrested. Now, the story of this is quite interesting. The baby was allegedly... According to the timeline of how this Smith, who is the half-sister, a member of the family, was in the house along with the mother of the child and the father of the child, and I believe an uncle was there. So there was a group of people in the house. The baby's taken around 1:30 because that's when Smith left the house, and she left the house to head on back to Colorado all of a sudden in the middle of the night. Now, the police are contacted by the mother at around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. She can't find her baby. She had awakened. Can you imagine if she hadn't awakened until, later on in the morning? It would have been several hours would have elapsed. The child might have been further into the interior of the United States, maybe into Colorado, wherever this woman was heading, and perhaps, deep into the underworld and underbelly of the Denver criminal scene. What am I talking about, anyway?
Yeah, the Denver criminal... What about a criminal underworld?
Right, not the Denver criminal underworld.
Yes, the Denver criminal underworld.
Well, what is the Denver criminal... Good God Almighty.
You know, every city's got its criminal underworld. Any big city. Denver probably has its criminal underworld.
Probably a bunch of meth cooker-uppers and stuff.
Now, what do you mean, meth cooker-uppers?
Why, that sounds like some balled-up, jacked-up... I don't even think that's a term, is it?
Meth cooker-uppers.
I'm back, by the way, so watch it.
Yeah, Margaret, we're fine. You know, I mean...
I just don't like all of the shots taken at me.
Right. But what I don't like is your problems becoming the focus of the show early on. I want to get to the radio show.
Well, then ask him, Phil.
No, I don't have to ask him anything. I'm going to ask you, as I've asked you every day since the beginning, to grow up. And, if the kid says something that bums you out or pisses you off, whatever, okay? Just blow it off.
Blow it off, huh? Blow off the fact that the kid's looking at me, sucking on a mint. Yes, I said sucking. And he looks at you and he goes, hoo, 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 hoo. She has a mouthful. I'm supposed to blow that off.
He didn't say that. He said that after we began the discussion. So just... Now, as far as the Denver criminal underworld, well, we have to now take a break. Steve, thanks a lot.
Don't get pissed.
Yeah, just... We're going to be right back here with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we discuss this baby that was taken, and we're going to get to it, and we're going to finish talking about it. I don't care if someone has to die. I don't care if someone can't save me from a homicide charge. We are going to finish the story. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in.
My daddy was a...
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. All this half of the month, the Phil Henry Show website has a special Valentine's Day treat for you. As you listen to the romantic strains of Devil Duber.
What's the name of this group, Phil?
Devil Diver. And you make romantic love to, you know, whatever, your pillow, your girlfriend, your stuffed toy. Remember that we have for you a special Valentine's Day giveaway. If you buy a year subscription to our website, you get a year free. If you buy a year subscription to our website, you get 1 year gift subscription free. This is a fantastic thing for Valentine's Day, the Backstage Pass.
Hey.
All right.
Don't. You know, that's very crude.
I'll take it easy. All right. So the Backstage Pass can be found at philhenryshow.com. Our special gift subscription for Valentine's Day is there, and we certainly do suggest that you take advantage of it, take full advantage of it, climb all over it, throw one leg over it.
And hump it home.
Yes, hump it home.
You see, I don't like the crudity. I'm sorry.
You said crudity after telling me.
Oh, would you shut up, bud?
All right. Margaret, you're going to have to live with it because it's a man's world in this here radio studio.
Yes, I understand, which means juvenile, vile, and vulgar.
No, it means juvenile, but not necessarily vile and vulgar. Okay, we do have Don Mixa with us, who is a security consultant, professor of engineering, an all-around great guy from Seattle, Washington. It's the University of Wisconsin there in Seattle, and not that he's employed there, but you do an awful lot of meeting and consulting and generally, I was going to say hanging around the campus. Is that an accurate description, Don?
I would rather not use that description, Phil. I don't think being told that I hang around the campus...
Well, you said that you use some of the facilities there, the lecture halls.
Yeah, I teach a couple of classes there, and it's not quite the situation that I think people would imagine when you see them hanging around the campus.
All right, I'm sorry, I misspoke. I shouldn't say that you were hanging around the campus, but you do use the facilities there, true?
Well, when you say that I use the facilities there, it sounds as if I'm there to use the bathroom. I'm there to teach.
Don, I think we understand.
We do, Don. I'm just trying to place you there at the University of Washington. But you also are a security consultant, and you have done some bodyguard work. What about this abduction in Wisconsin? What about the abduction of this baby, the suspect that is under arrest, a half-sister, having abducted this child in the middle of the night? Is there anything about this scenario that the parents could have foreseen?
Well, it's a very good question, Phil. I think when you're talking about a family member, you don't anticipate that a family member is going to obviously be involved in a kind of an assault like this. This is an assault on the very family, and it's an assault on the family from within the family. I don't think anybody should reasonably be afraid of family members. I don't think anyone should reasonably be afraid that a family member is going to do harm to other members of the family, but that is exactly the scenario that we have here. I would say to this young couple, you know, you have to view anybody that comes into your home. And understand that I have worked in security for quite some time. I was a police officer in Seattle for a number of years. And I think you have to look at anyone that comes into your home that is not an integral member of that family unit, and that is someone that lives in that house. I think you have to look at them as a potential threat. And I've seen more of these punks, if you would forgive the use of the term, but that's exactly how I view them. I've seen these punks coming in and out of homes that are members of the family. I saw a mother kill a domestic servant in a home here in suburban Washington, suburban Seattle. She had killed a woman that was brought in to clean the house. And in that scenario, the woman is nothing more than a dirty, greasy punk that has inflicted her savagery on this hired woman.
Well, you're calling the woman who is the owner of the home?
Yes, she was the wife of the husband. The two people who owned the house were the husband and wife. The wife killed a woman who had been working there as a domestic servant. In that scenario, when I use my charts in analyzing motivation and crime, in that scenario, the mother, or the wife, I should say, is the dirty, filthy punk that has inflicted her violence on a peace-loving cleaning woman.
Okay, so what does that do for you? I mean, what, not for you.
Well, it doesn't do anything for you, does it, Don? It does something to help you along, correct?
It's not therapeutic for me, Phil.
No, I know that. What does it do to enable you in the solving of a crime?
Well, the first thing it does is it puts the blame squarely where it belongs. Whoever the perpetrator is of any crime is a dirty, lousy, crawling punk. Now, I'm using that term.
Yeah, I want to know why the necessity of that kind of language. Not that I disagree with you.
Yeah, I agree that anybody be a punk.
That's exactly right. But I don't use the term to be vituperative. I'm not trying to insult. I'm not trying to carry the insult into the inner workings of the solving of a crime. I'm trying to just categorize, and it helps focus it. If I know who the dirty, filthy punk is, and again, that is not just an insult. That is a description that helps focus the crime.
So if you come into this Wisconsin home, and the baby is still missing, and again, folks, this baby that we're talking about, little Caden Powell, has been recovered, is back with his family, and is safe and sound. He was gone several hours. It was a nerve-wracking, horrifying several hours for the family, but the baby is back. But if before this child was recovered, you come into the home, what therefore is the process?
The process for me then is I'm interviewing the father, I'm interviewing the mother, I'm interviewing everyone that's there, and I'm trying to determine who the lousy, stinking punk is. Who's the punk? You know.
Well, if I may, it seems like you're spending an awful lot of time.
If I could just finish, General, I appreciate that. But let me just finish.
All right.
I want to determine who the dirty, filthy punk is, and then I'm able to put the DFP, and I call him the dirty, crawling punk or the greasy, stinking punk, whichever. And once I'm able to determine who that filthy, crawling scum is, then I know what to do. But I've got to be motivated.
So the verbiage helps motivate you?
Yes, it helps. I'm motivated. You don't have to get me motivated. I am. I wake up ready. You know, I was born ready. Okay? I was born ready. But when I know who the dirty, stinking punk is, like, if I went into this home, the baby's gone. Who do you think it is? Well, who's missing? Where's the child? And the child's gone. When was the child last seen? 1:30. Who was also last seen at 1:30? Kristen Smith. Okay, that's the lousy, foul, rotten, crawling punk. Now I'm focused, and that's who I'm looking for.
Now, what difference does it make whether you call her the lousy, crawling, rotten punk or just my suspect, Kristen Smith?
Well, I wouldn't know who you were talking about. It's not going to motivate me. My suspect, Kristen Smith. If my sergeant came to me or one of my men, oh, your suspect is Kristen, I'd say, okay, so why should I care? Well, she's the one that took the baby.
Yes, she's the one that has the child.
I understand that. Why do I care? I don't care. I couldn't care less. I need to have something.
Wait. You're saying that you need the actual description of a suspect as a dirty, crawling punk in order to motivate yourself to go out and solve a crime. Meanwhile, there's a child that could be at risk.
Before we start giving speeches about how there's a child at risk and we're losing time and it's all of a sudden an episode of 24, let me just tell you this, Phil.
An episode of 24. I like that one.
Yeah, let me just tell you this. No cop can solve a crime if he doesn't think the criminal did anything wrong. If the criminal did something wrong, he's going to go find the criminal. But if he thinks that the guy who actually committed the crime didn't, you know...
Well, all right, so what's the difference between saying the suspect...
Whoa, hold on. Your suspect, Kristen Smith, abducted a child. Well, maybe that's what you say. All right, the dirty, filthy, crawling scum, Kristen Smith. Aha. She abducted a child? Yes.
Well, I'm having a hard time understanding this.
All right, let me put it another way.
All right, we have to take a break, though. So hold on. Don Mixa, security consultant and professor of engineering from
Seattle, Washington.
I don't understand why. Why can't he just go get the suspect?
Well, he said he needs to. Is it a crawling, slimy punk? Or what is it?
It's a crawling, slimy punk, but who cares whether it's a crawling, slimy punk? It's somebody that committed a crime, and they got to go find the person that... we'll be back with Don Mixa and more on the story of the abducted child from Wisconsin. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. How much time we got here? 10 seconds? Okay. So I can also tell you that we're at TuneIn. TuneIn, T-U-N-E-I-N. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and tune in, and let's see what else. Oh, yeah, if you go to our website, if you're not even a subscriber to our website, you'll find a Listen Live button. You can go and listen to the show live for free every night. You can listen. If you want the video cast, you have to be a subscriber to philhendryshow.com. You can also use TuneIn if you'd like. It is an app that you can get for your mobile phone. You can also get it for your iPad, I believe, your tablet, and others. And if you have the technology that does not necessarily support all of the above, TuneIn is your game, man. But we do have, as I mentioned, a Listen Live opportunity. Don Mixa on the line with us from University of Washington this evening, where Don is a professor of engineering as well as, or has been a professor of engineering at odd times, and he uses the facilities, but he wants me to tell you that he doesn't mean the bathroom, which I think everybody understands, Don. I got a couple of phone calls we want to get to here. Charlie, who's also up in Seattle this evening. Charlie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Charlie, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I want to ask Don. I was listening and might have misunderstood when he said that he's calling the perpetrator a dirty, crawling punk. My question, Don, is I have a son who is difficult to motivate from time to time, just doing household chores. I might refer to him as a dirty, crawling punk, or something like that. So what's the difference, you know?
Well, you don't think of your son as a... You don't think of your son as a criminal, do you?
No, I don't think of my son as a criminal. Not at all.
I would not think of my own son as a criminal either, but there are times when I call my own son because I cannot motivate him. I might call him a lowlife or the scum of the earth or something like that. These are terms that we use as fathers to motivate sons. You don't use this with a daughter, but you would use it with a son.
Right, but if you're using the same term for an individual who took a baby and now on a lamb and run across God knows how many state lines, I don't understand.
I'm hoping to be clear. What am I missing here?
I think what the gentleman is asking is how do you, if you're motivating yourself by calling, see, this is a pretty bizarre conversation we're having.
I think it's very bizarre. I want to jump in and ask the question here.
Oh, Margaret, I have the floor.
Sorry.
Well, now I forgot.
Well, I haven't forgotten, Don. I think what the man is saying is, if you refer to someone that kidnapped a child as dirty, crawling scum, I understand that. But if you refer to your son as dirty, crawling scum because he won't do the dishes or mow the lawn, it seems to trivialize it. Do you understand?
Yeah, that was my question, too. Thank you, Margaret. That's what I want to say.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess I'm the only guy here that doesn't get it. I know the difference between an abductor of a child and a kid that won't get out of bed in the morning and go mow a lawn. To me, they're both scum. But the one that abducted the child is my primary concern. If my son isn't home and he's laying around till all hours of the day eating Oreos and watching television and drinking milk and leaving crumbs like he does, these are things that my own son does, so that when I come home late in the afternoon and I find Oreo crumbs and underwear, a television is on, he's asleep, his friends are crashed, a couple guys are playing pool, I expect that, and he's a lowlife. But he's not a guy that I'm going to beat with a PR-24. The person that abducted that baby, I will take a PR-24 to them until they give it up. All right?
And what do you mean by give it up?
I mean give up the kid.
You... All right, so if that individual was standing there holding the child, you'd beat them with a PR-24.
I mean, if that's my choice, yeah.
All right, Don,
well, that team member is responsible to me, but that's my question.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Hey, I was confused, I guess, by the gentleman's question, but the upshot of all of this is that I am far more concerned with the safety of the baby.
Just out of curiosity, if you got a suspect in front of you holding a baby and they will not give you the baby, and I assume you don't want them to drop the baby.
Well, you don't want them to drop the baby. Well, the thing you do is you want to get the kid away from them. You want to get that kid away from them. You want the biggest danger to that kid is the person that has abducted them. So if I have to take a PR-24 right to the head of a person that is holding a baby, I'll do it, even if they drop the baby, because at that point, the baby's going to take his chances with the pavement. I've got the suspect. I got a PR-24, and I've got it aimed right at the suspect's head. All right, so I got that under control. Now, in that instant, as a law enforcement officer, I'm putting a lot into the hands of the baby. I'm saying to the baby, all right, I'm going to give you half a chance here. How are you going to handle it?
That's asinine.
I beg your pardon?
I said that is asinine to leave up to an infant their own safety in that situation.
I just told you, Ms. Gray, the biggest danger is that abductor. I just got that abductor to drop that kid. I'm telling the kid, you are, you know, free. Go for it. Go for it. And
you just hit the abductor with a PR-24, which, by the way, folks, is a baton. It's a police baton. In the head, they drop the kid, and the kid is an infant. The kid has no ability to break its fall. The kid has no ability to do anything other than what? Than just fall to the pavement face first if he has to.
Well, let me tell you something, Phil. When I was a kid, I took a truck full on to the face. The truck wasn't moving. It was parked in my father's truck. It was in the driveway, but I was going after a baseball, and I missed it, and I dove right into the grill of my father's truck. That's what I'm asking that kid to absorb. I'm asking the kid to absorb the same thing. I know it doesn't sound reasonable, but I want the child to live.
And what's the likelihood of the kid living when the abductor drops the kid and the kid is falling to the pavement and to what could possibly be a fatal fall if his head hits the pavement before anything else?
Well, if his head hits the pavement before anything else, he gave it one holy hell of a try.
You're talking about an infant here, and the infant can't possibly make these decisions. You sound like you're half in the bag, some of the things you're saying.
Well, as a law enforcement officer, I'm used to the abuse. I've been called a pig. I've been called a bacon. Somebody walk by and say, smells like bacon. I can take any of it. But one thing I can't take is someone telling me that after I risked my life by beating someone's head in and gave that kid half a chance to fall to the pavement and roll, you can roll into the bushes. And
what kid is going to roll into the bushes, an infant, a newborn infant? What kid's going to know how to do that?
Kid is going to know how to roll out in the bushes, even if it's Albert Einstein.
Okay, now you just said the name of Bobby Einstein, right? Or
Albert Einstein. Are you thinking of the guy who was the...
I'm thinking of the genius.
Albert Einstein.
All right. How do you know Albert Einstein couldn't roll into the bushes? How do you know that?
Because no...
No. I'm asking this guy here. What's your name, Dickman?
Yeah, because a baby can't do it.
Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein. I'm not talking about just a baby. I'm talking about the most brilliant... Not just a man. The most brilliant thing... The most brilliant thing that ever came out from between a woman's thighs.
I beg your pardon?
This lady with the I beg your pardons, you know.
Well, you know something, Mr. Mixa, I'm a co-host on this program, and a lot of the things you're saying, not only do they not sound reasonable, they sound like they're the ravings of an imbecile. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm recusing and removing myself from this discussion.
Removing?
That's right. I'm recusing myself and removing. Yes, removing.
Oh, okay. That's glad you found the word, because it's a tough one.
Why don't you go to hell?
Ouch.
Margaret.
No, I'm...
You know, Phil, I've got to leave, too, because the stink in here has suddenly gotten so oppressive.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, go on. Okay, Mr. Mixa, so I've lost the entire... The staff of my show has walked out because they think the things you're saying are patently absurd.
Okay. Okay, well, if they think that Albert Einstein wasn't a genius...
I don't think anybody's saying that he wasn't a genius. I think that people are assuming, and rightfully so, that Albert Einstein, as brilliant as he was, when he was an infant, even as smart as he was, he wouldn't have known enough to crawl away or bounce and roll into the bushes after being dropped by an abductor while the police officer beat the abductor's head in with a PR-24. And before you say it, yes, I know there were no PR-24s back when Albert Einstein was born.
Okay, well, as long as you understand that. So the cop isn't about to beat the guy's head in with a PR-24. The cop is most likely not going to do anything or shoot the guy. And what would that do? Because the guy's going to fall. I'm trying to tell you that this is a delicate situation. And this Kristen Smith, this crawling scum, as I said, could have taken that kid into Denver. And the next thing you know, that kid has been sold into some kind of Tibetan underground, or what do they call the place that in Tibet?
You mean Thailand?
That's the place, Thailand. Why did I think of Tibet? Because of that Dalai Do, or...
The Dalai Lama?
The Dalai Lama, yeah. That guy.
What about him?
Well, the perverts, right?
The Dalai Lama is not a pervert. The Dalai Lama is the spiritual leader of tens of millions of Buddhists around the world. He is a spiritual man, or highly thought of, the spiritual leader of the people of Tibet, and has nothing whatsoever to do with child pornography. And for you to say something like that is quite ignorant.
Okay. I mean,
Thank you very much, Don.
Well, I'm not going to hang up. You're going to have to hang up.
That's what I thought. Okay, so what we have, therefore, is an example of what not to do when you're recovering a kid. Don't beat the suspect's head in with a PR-24 and hope the kid will bounce and roll into the bushes after being dropped. And don't assume that Albert Einstein was so brilliant, even as a newborn infant, that he would have instinctively have done that, even though they didn't have PR-24s back in the days that he was born. So, you're coming back in?
Yeah, well, we were listening outside.
Yes, I'm allowing myself to sit in the studio now. If you have any more guests that are that dumb, you won't have to fire me.
You'll quit?
No, I didn't say that. I said you won't have to fire me, though.
Okay, what will you do?
I'll think about quitting.
What she's trying to say it.
No, I'll say it for myself. If you have any guests that dumb ever again, hold on. I'm sorry, Phil.
Oh, God, what did you eat?
I had the chicken pizza. You want to sue me?
Oh, well, it stinks, Margaret. God.
People are going to... How dare you? People are thinking I farted.
No, they're not thinking that, Margaret. When you belch up, oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a break on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Why are you foaming at the mouth, Robert?
Wendy Williams, you kidding me?
Wendy Williams? Oh, yeah, Wendy Williams. That's great. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com with more exciting news. Some of it, the Olympic opening ceremonies. Woo! World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And welcome. You know, we had a bunch of announcements to make that I was going to make during the pre-show tonight, and it did not fall on me. I didn't have the time to make the announcements because, quite frankly, I wanted to make them to my audience, my pre-show audience, because they're my subscribers, not to the over-the-air audience, with all due respect, because you don't deserve to hear them before my subscribers do.
Well, Phil, people are going to take that the wrong way.
Well, if they're going to take it, let them take it the wrong way. What do you want from me? I mean, the people that are here on our website at philhendryshow.com, we have announcements to make concerning the future of this radio show. We have announcements to make concerning the future of our animated project. We have announcements to make concerning our podcasting. We have all kinds of things we're going to say. But I sure as hell ain't going to spill it out over all over the dock like the little Kintner boy.
Hey! That is absolutely disgusting.
Oh, you've heard us say that so many times, Margaret. I mean, you're going to get upset about it now?
I think it's very apt and fitting.
Yeah, you know about the Kintner boy, right?
What do you mean, do I know about the Kintner boy? You mean the character in Jaws?
Yes. In other words, it's not even a real kid. Okay?
Well, you should still have some respect.
For who? It's a fake kid. The fake family?
The fake? What do you mean, the fake family?
The kid don't even exist on account of it was Jaws.
See?
Well, you still need to have respect for people...
whose kids were eaten by sharks. I'm sorry, you know.
Yes, people whose children were eaten by sharks and then were spilled out all over the dock.
Like the Kintner boy.
Yes.
Oh, get lost. I was going to say get out of here, but I don't want you to.
You need me. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall.
Thank you very much, Colonel. Now...
So I look like a Marine colonel.
You sounded like one. Now, Woody Allen lashes back, quote, "Of course I did not molest Dylan." Now, I don't want a whole bunch of tittering and guffawing over this. This is a serious story, and I only got a couple of things to say about this. You know about this story about Woody Allen, right? He has been accused in an open letter to the New York Times, I guess you could call it an open letter or an op-ed. I don't know what the hell, but the adopted daughter, Dylan Farrow, said that her father, her adoptive father, molested her. She says where, she says how, she says when, she says it then, she said it in the interim, and she said it again in the newspaper piece. She says she told her mother, she has told her brother, and she has now told the public. She was told at the time that maybe she was being coached. She's told now that maybe she was being coached. She's been told in the interim that maybe she was being coached. She was told that maybe she was making it up then. Maybe she's making it up in the interim, and maybe she's making it up now. And through it all, the young woman has said repeatedly, no, I'm not making it up, and no, I haven't been coached, and no, I haven't this, and no, I haven't that. It happened. Now, she even used the term gaslight. If you know what gaslight means, there was a movie out with Ingrid Bergman once called Gaslight. And what was it about? It was about a woman who's slowly being driven insane by her husband. Her husband's trying to drive her nuts for some ulterior motive, which I do not recall, because quite frankly, I was really bored with the movie. But, the movie was, it doesn't matter what Phil Henry thinks, the movie was significant and was groundbreaking enough that the term gaslighting somebody came into popular use. To gaslight someone is to try to make them think they're crazy. Even as they're saying things that are absolutely true, make complete sense, but you don't want anybody to know the truth, and so you gaslight them. You try to, yes, that's, isn't that nice? You know what? Maybe you're overwrought. Maybe you're just, we've seen this before. We've seen it in fiction and in real life. And Dylan Farrow, who now calls herself something else, the name Dylan was the name given to her by her parents, but I think she now calls herself Marnie or Mary or something. She used that term. She said, victims of abuse are often gaslit by the molester, by the attorneys, by the doctors, by the this, by the that. She said, and the same thing happened to me. Now, Woody Allen's attorney was on TV here, yesterday, I think it was the day before on the, either it was Anderson Cooper or it was Pierce Morgan, but he was, obviously, as one would imagine an attorney to do, he was defending his client, and he was saying that, and of course, taking pains not to indict Dylan Farrow, he was saying that she's the victim of brainwashing. And why? Because Mia Farrow was pissed off at Woody Allen because he was squiring about and getting ready to marry the adopted daughter of Mia Farrow, but not Woody Allen. That's the other thing that some people... they say that people got mistaken, that Woody Allen wasn't really marrying his stepdaughter. He was marrying Mia Farrow's adopted daughter. But he stormed back at his ex, Mia Farrow, angrily accusing her of manipulating his adopted daughter, Dylan, into believing she was molested by him when she was a child. "Of course I did not molest Dylan," said the 78-year-old director. He writes this in an op-ed piece that will appear in Sunday's New York Times. "I loved her and hope one day she will grasp how she's been cheated out of having a loving father and exploited by a mother more interested in her own festering anger than her daughter's well-being." In the detailed response to Dylan's claims of abuse when she was 7 years old, Allen says the allegations originated from Farrow, now 68, during their terribly acrimonious breakup 21 years ago when he began a relationship with her adopted daughter, Soon-Yi Previn. The self-serving transparency of her malevolence seems so obvious I didn't even hire a lawyer to defend myself, he writes. I naively thought the accusation would be dismissed out of hand because, of course, I hadn't molested Dylan, and any rational person would see the ploy for what it was. Instead, his raging adversary's accusations led to a police case, a lie detector test that he says he passed, but which Farrow didn't take, and a meticulous investigation by the Child Sexual Abuse Clinic of the Yale New Haven Hospital that he says cleared him. The district attorney was champing at the bit to prosecute a celebrity case, and Justice Elliot Wilkie, the custody judge, wrote a very irresponsible opinion saying, when it came to the molestation, we will probably never know what occurred, says Allen. The judge, Allen says, was quite rough on me out of disapproval of Allen's relationship with Soon Yi, who was in her 20s at the time when Allen was in his 50s. Allen and Soon Yi have now been married 16 years. He thought of me as an older improper, despite the fact that I loved her, and I can't see any of this. This has been, but you get the idea. So Woody Allen's going to have this op-ed piece. It's going to be in the Sunday New York Times, which will be on Sunday, and if you want, you can go check that out. But just keep one thing in mind. The claim that someone has been brainwashed, that it never happened, that they've been manipulated, this is ongoing. And no molester ever admits out of hand right away, oh, sure, yeah, that happened. I molested her. This stuff has to come out later on. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't know. I like Woody Allen.